New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Billy Embody. We're in the thick of spring football practice, but LSU's basketball season just ended Monday night at the hands of one seed Michigan. A tough loss for LSU. They just couldn't sustain the leads they had. They had some issues that popped up during the course of the year at the wrong times against Michigan. The careless turnover here or there, or some foul troubles, and they just couldn't sustain the lead. And ultimately, the one seed did what it has done much of the year, which is win basketball games. And so Michigan moves on to the Sweet 16. LSU season is over. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Shea Dixon. We are going to really reflect on the season as a whole, just because, and Shea and I talked about this before the podcast, we think the loss to Michigan was, one, LSU came out as well as they could have came out against Michigan. They certainly didn't sustain it as well as you would have liked to see if you were a Tiger fan, but they still lost to a really good team. There wasn't too much to complain about. I mean, three turnovers in the game for LSU. They had a couple critical fouls and a critical turnover, but you know, for the most part, it was just a physical basketball game. It was a really high quality NCAA tournament game overall, but LSU just couldn't get it done. So Shea, and I asked Will Wade this about the season, what he'll remember, but he just kind of told me, look, the way the guys battled through the pauses, through this, through that, through losing some non-conference games to COVID and things like that, he just told the guys after the game how proud he was of them. I think this team was starting to play some really good basketball. They just hadn't turned that corner enough to get to the Sweet 16, to move on and to really make this a special season.
Yeah, look, I was booting up all season for them because we didn't get to do it a year ago. So it was fun to watch in the tournament. You just said that, and I read the transcript that you posted on Go 24/7 of the entire press conference. And Wade mentioned this, that they played in 29 games. He was excited they got that many in. Who are the two guys who played in every single game this year?
You tell me. Gosh, I wouldn't even know. I would think Watford and Cam Thomas.
So I guess Watford missed a game in the stretch. I'm on the LSU stat page, so if it's wrong, you can yell at Ken or Todd Pulitz or somebody. Eric Gaines and Cam Thomas were the only people who played in all 29. Javonte, Trendon, Days all had 28. And I guess Days got injured, missed a game. There might have been a game or two. And I guess Smart and Watford were both out of game as well. I found that interesting that those were the only two who played in every game. But it was to get in nearly 30 games with this season, I thought was great. I thought that they got, you know, to go to a postseason, have a whole SEC tournament, not be sent home early because you lose or because of any sort of COVID shutdown. They got all the way to the championship. They got to Indianapolis. They didn't have any hiccups there with any sort of COVID protocols. You know, we saw the Oregon VCU game. You would have hated for that, you know, to be how the season ended. So it was fun to watch. I wish that, one thing looking back, I wish that it would have been a full stadium all year at the PMAC and people could have gotten to see Javonte presumably for a final time and the big three or four and really Cam Thomas, who the Ben Simmons era like really left a sour taste in people's mouths, and they got to go watch him play every game. And obviously Cam Thomas is going to be a top 15 range pick and going to be a really good NBA player, a true scorer, and it would have been fun to pack the PMAC for people to be able to witness that. But boy, it was a good season, as you said, and I think it's fair to say this way. And like, people were in the live thread last night, and I was at walk-ons, and everyone in the building was screaming about the refs and you know, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, they got beat by a team that was better than they were, that was a one seed. And I don't know if there was a time, Billy, I was asking actually a couple of the LSU SIDs, that was there a time they were even ranked this year? Maybe they were ranked for a week or so, but this is a team that got slotted, what, 28th, 29th in terms of the 64 overall seeds, whatever it might have been. They get to the round of 32. They don't get to the round of 16 by losing to a a number one seed. It's just kind of how it goes. You got beat by a better team. I thought it was fun, at least, that they were in it. They were out front, just kind of set the pace in the first half. And obviously some familiar things bit them at the end. We were talking about this before the call, and you said it well there, that they didn't close out on some shooters. And Wade was like, look, it wasn't like they were setting up in the half court and inside out and us and knocking down threes. They were getting in transition, and we weren't rotating or covering the right guy. And they're hitting shots. And when you're leaving the number one free throw shooting team, or excuse me, 3-point shooting team in the conference wide open, they're going to make buckets. And eventually kind of the game, you had some breaks, the Cam Thomas, we talked about that, the charge call where he kind of came across the top of the key and ends up catching, you know, bumping the guy and he falls, you know, almost flops, and they call it for Michigan, and things like that certainly shifted it. But LSU didn't score enough down the stretch. I didn't think this team was going to go win a national championship. We all said Sweet 16 would have been a really successful season, but I think you can also understand that you said that before knowing they were going to play a one seed who is extremely well coached, who has a deep bench. And Billy, when 74 of your 78 points are scored by four of your starters, a team like Michigan can run you out the building kind of quickly.
Right. LSU just ran out of gas. And I think, you know, the Javonte Smart turnover, and we're not going to talk about the game too much, but the one turnover behind, you know, in between his legs or whatever, that was critical because they had a chance to go up, I think, like seven and really make, you know, put the gas pedal down. But when you look at this,
it was clear. Yeah. It was clear, too. He was hurting in that area at that Correct. Time. So the between Correct. The legs did not seem like the smartest pass to do for me.
No. Yeah, that was awkward, to say the least. But you look at this season, and, you know, the loss to Texas Tech was one that they wanted back. They lost, you know, a close one on the road to Florida. They had those losses, that loss at Georgia. They had their moments where they just couldn't put it all together, and it really hurt them without some quality non-conference wins. But down the stretch of the season, after they had those two tough losses against Georgia and Arkansas, they took care of business against Vanderbilt, took care of business against a Missouri team that was a difficult matchup for them. They went into the SEC tournament and beat Arkansas, who's still playing in the NCAA tournament. They beat Ole Miss, which was, you know, a tough team for them to really match up with. And then they gave Alabama all they can handle. I think I'm going to look back on this season and just think that, you know, ifs and buts, but if they would have had a couple more games of non-conference, and mind you, we talked about this before we started the pod, three of the, I believe, five canceled or postponed non-conference games were against teams that ended up playing in the NCAA tournament, North Texas, VCU, and Texas Southern. So a difficult kind of pill to swallow for them. They could have built a better resume, could have been a better seed. They also could have been a worse seed. So if you want to look at it like that, but I think Cam Thomas was everything that he was brought in to be. I mean, you know, everybody wants to say, you know, ball hog, whatever. When you're that good at what you do, that's why you're there. I think he took some of the pressure off of Trendon Watford, who was able to have a better year. In my opinion, Javonte Smart didn't have to do as much. Darius Days was one that I think I really wanted to see more out of. I mean, I've said this now for a couple of years, and I guess if Darius Days does come back for next year, and we'll see, I think out of the four, he'd be the most likely to return. I've said this, that I think he could be one of the better four-year guys that LSU's had in a while, but it comes and it goes. And again, he didn't top the double-digit mark. LSU lost, and I went into the game, and I joined our Michigan site on their podcast before. And I said, if Darius Days scores double digits, it's a good bet LSU's going to win the game, 18-1 or 19-1, I believe they are when he does it. So they just didn't get enough from key guys. And I think, you know, Josh Gray was a true freshman, didn't bring enough in the front court. Brian Penn Johnson was a complete failure of a, you know, just experiment, I guess, bringing him in. There were high expectations, but he didn't even, I don't think he lasted until end of November, and he was gone. So that was two guys that I think Will Wade probably, especially in Penn Johnson's case, wanted a little bit more out of, could have been that physical presence that they needed maybe in the paint. But this team just, when it came time to tournament, for the tournament, the NCAA tournament. They just didn't have enough pieces to sustain and keep the gas pedal down like they needed to.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was a fun season to watch. And Javonte Smart hitting the 1,000-point career mark. I guess that was back at the Tennessee game or somewhere in that stretch at the end of the season. You're imagining, right, that we're coming to an end for Cam Thomas is going to be a lottery pick, but the Wadfords, the Javonte Smarts, and then the Darius Dazes. I think that we know that Cam's going pro. Is there a gut feel? But, and I guess more importantly, what did they have to wait? Is there like draft workouts again, or have they gone through it too many times? I know there was like a cap there. Catch all of us up on that. What's the outlook on what's a timeline when these guys might have to do something?
Javonte Smart and Darius Dazes, I believe, have exhausted their NBA draft workouts. I think Dazes might have one. He was the only one that didn't declare, I think. Remember that year when everything went around with Will Wade? He was the one that was like, oh, I'm coming back, don't worry. I think that was him. So he might have one more. But Javonte has done it both off season. So he, I believe if he wants to go, he's going, which I could see him going. I don't know if there's a reason he should come back. I don't know. I think as he gets older, I don't think that helps him in the long term of making money. Trendon Watford has another exploratory time to go with the NBA, so he can go through all of that, and hopefully they have, you know, actual draft workouts this year and can do all those things. The last year the decision window was delayed so much that it was August, if I remember correctly, when Trendon Watford decided he was coming back. I'll look that up right now. But, you know, these guys, I think, one, you mentioned Cam Thomas, he's gone. Trendon Watford, I would be really surprised. Yes, August 3rd, Trendon Watford back at LSU. So we'll see what kind of how they do it this year. I think it would more likely than not get back to a more regular schedule. But that was August was the deadline last year for that during COVID and all of that as they went through that. But the 2021 NBA draft is still something that they're working through, I think, and much with anything, it's probably fluid. These guys have some time, though. They have some time to go through these workouts and go through meetings with NBA teams and get the feedback. And it's not all about the NBA. It's also the pro aspect of it, too. There's money to be made in Europe. Like I said, I don't know how much sense it makes for Javonte Smart to go off or to return to LSU. I think he can go make money in Europe more likely than not. At the end of the day, though, he's still a big physical guard that can probably add some versatility to a roster at the pro level. And Trendon Watford kind of reminds me of Naz Reid, except he wasn't a one and done. He's just got that skill. And if he continues to develop his explosiveness and athleticism, he could end up playing a while in the league as much as some LSU fans might not agree with that. It's a projection league for the most part when you get down into the second round pick range, which I think Watford, if he gets drafted, would be. But Darius Dazes, if he can put it all together for a fourth year, I think he's got some money to be made if he can have a strong finish to his LSU career. Because, you know, Darius, I mean, he's called the mayor around campus. You know, he's always got a smile on his face. And I don't know, we'll continue to track Darius. But out of the four, I think maybe there's a chance he comes back. But obviously, if three of the big four aren't there, maybe there's, you know, that maybe he says, you know what, I'll go ahead and I'll move on too. But, you know, the future of LSU, I still think is pretty bright. You know, one thing Will Wade can do is get players. And you look at this 2021 class that they have, and they've got really the cornerstone, I would think, is Jarrell Colbert, especially if you do end up losing Dazes and Watford. He's a 6'9", 210 center. Playing in Tennessee right now. He's a top 100 prospect. He's been really, really good for a long time. He's been a national guy since he was a sophomore. Brandon Murray was somebody they signed out of IMG Academy. And really, the last year or so, he blew up. He's now just on the edge of being a top 100 prospect. He's got some tools. He's got some size. He's kind of a four-year Charles Manning type that can step in on the wing and step in at the two and things like that. I don't know if he's going to pack that scoring punch that Cam Thomas certainly brought by any means, but he is going to step in on in the backcourt there. Bradley Azawiro, he was teammates with Cam Thomas, but he opted to reclassify to 2021. We'll kind of monitor him. He's more of somebody that I think could end up being, you know, a role player coming off the bench. Still needs to develop. He's still very young, but he's a 6'8", 230-pound big man. And then they added Alex Fudge at the semester, and he is really talented. He is somebody that when you look at his frame and you look at his size, he's really, really something. And I think, you know, when you look at, you know, the job that Greg Golden does with a lot of these guys at LSU, as long as he packs on weight, he's going to be a really good one. He's a borderline top 50 prospect, 6'8", 180 pounds. And then finally they added Seneca Knight, a transfer, originally from Lafayette, came over from San Jose State, and he's got some really nice tools about him that he could play that three spot and bring some depth there too. So future is bright for LSU going into next year, Shea.
Yeah, well, let's okay. So this is what people have been asking, and Sonny wrote a piece on this. We'll have for the site at Go247. You can read it there. It's called "What LSU Basketball Could Look Like Next Season." We'll have plenty of recruiting breakdowns, obviously, from Billy. We've got some stuff coming this week on just the roster as a whole and how they fared. But people keep asking, all right, who are these new guys? And let it make some sense to me in layman's terms. So I figured this would be easy. I'll offer you up these new guys. You tell me, either on this year's team or the past, you know, Will Wade era of teams, who this player, you know, what his role would be, so that I think people could then understand it a little bit better. And let's start with Fudge. He's a guy who a lot of people are talking about on the board. Came out of high school, highly ranked, what, top number 56, so almost a top 50 player on the 24/7 composite. Listed at about 6'8", 6'7", let's call him 6'7", 6'8", 175, 180, combo forward. What is the Alex Fudge role?
It's fairly similar to Trenton Watford in terms of how they'll use him. Now, he doesn't have that size or in terms of you know, weight that Trenton Watford came in with. And he's a finesse player like Watford. But the thing about Alex Fudge is he's got the athleticism. And that's where I look at him a little bit differently. He's got that explosiveness. I think at some times, you know, Trenton, who is very skilled, able to handle the basketball, do all those things, but he doesn't necessarily have that explosiveness at times to get by guys or to create that extra bit of separation. That's where I think Alex Fudge is a little different. I think with a full offseason in that weight room with Greg Golden, and he's already been there for a few months now, he'll be able to put on enough weight to make an impact next year. I don't necessarily know if he's going to be a starter, but he is – he is when you talk about it being a projection game, he's what you want. I think in that 3-4 combo forward type of player, he's got the athleticism to play out on the perimeter with a three. He's got the size and the length to play with a four. He just needs to pack on that weight. So, I mean, he's somebody that's kind of very similar to Eric Gaines. He's the forward version of Eric Gaines. They want him to put on weight, but he has all the tools that you look at him and you just say, wow, he is so exciting. He's not going to jump out of the gym like Marlon Taylor did when he came in, but he's got that athleticism and that quickness to be a really, really good player down the line.
Yeah, one guy that we'll slide here to Brandon Murray. And he had, what, played up at Baltimore. He was at the IMG Academy, signed with LSU back in November. And you had written a number of pieces on him. But when Wade went on the record, he said, look, yes, he's a prolific scorer. He's a great shooter. But his quote was, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever recruited, a rugged, tough player on both ends. Then I look him up and he's 6'5", 200 as a shooting guard. What's the Brandon Murray comp?
okay, I'm not putting expectations on him like this, but he reminds me of Skylar Mays in terms of the way he's wired. I don't think he's got as much point guard in him. I still think he's kind of in that two range for them. Can play, you know, a little bit of the combo guard. But look, I mean, you don't you're a really good basketball player if you're Mr. Maryland in basketball. And that's exactly what Brandon Murray was before he ended up taking a post-grad year at IMG. And he's risen up the rankings. But look, when you're playing post-grad, you know, just you're not on that like highly ranked IMG Academy team, which is fine. He needed another year of development and he's getting really good coaching down there at IMG. So I expect him to play some minutes. I think he's got the size that you want in the SEC. Sometimes, you know, whether it was Eric Gaines, you know, being needing weight or Jalen Cook just kind of being undersized a little bit at times, Brent, you can throw Brandon Murray out there a little bit more and it might go a little bit better. He can fill it up. Was shooting 53% from beyond the arc in his final year of high school ball. And look, I kept getting calls this fall when he was playing for IMG, just hearing a lot of praise from people who have watched him. And so there's some upside there. Again, he's got the size you want in the SEC. He's shown to shoot the ball very well. And if he can be not a 3-and-D guy, but if he can be a threat from beyond the arc for LSU, that helped the floor spacing so much as they break in some new bigs. Brandon Murray, I'm pretty high on him. And again, I think when you add a player with that level of work ethic, I mean, it reminds me of Skylar Mays. He's somebody that even if he comes in and doesn't make a true immediate impact, I think he's just going to keep chipping away and makes a solid impact down the line.
You mentioned all these guys, but mentioned Seneca Knight being a Northside guy, Lafayette native. And we know that Will Wade said, I am going to take some transfers. We know that we're going to lose the bulk of the scoring. We mentioned that 74 of the 78 points came from the Big Four in the loss to Michigan. There's a chance that none of those guys are back on the team next year. So he wants to blend some veterans from elsewhere with some young guys. And the first guy he brought in, Seneca Knight, coming from San Jose State, I see him listed at guard, 6'6", 190. What's his game? Where does he fit in for him?
Yeah, he's one that I think kind of fits into that Marlon Taylor type of role. And here's why. I think, one, with his size, he can play out there on the three. Somebody actually asked me on the board about him about a week and a half ago. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do some digging. And over the last week, I was able to get a little bit of watching in. And when he opted out around December and ended up transferring from San Jose State, it was a big deal. I mean, it was not someone they could easily replace. He was leading the team in scoring with 17 points a game. It was a big loss for them. And so he comes home to Louisiana where he's going to be, I think, in a better situation. San Jose State was struggling this year. And so you add somebody with size, you know, my question would be, how does he translate athletically to LSU and to the SEC? It's a big jump. There were some consistency questions from what I had done what I had seen in terms of research. Maybe Will Wade and that program pulls that out of him. But he came on strong his freshman year. Sophomore year, he was All Mountain West third team. So he really showed that he was on the right track. And then this year, you know, things weren't going well in general for San Jose State. And so this is a good ad. This is somebody that's getting back to his home state, Lafayette area native. And, you know, I think he's got the chance to start. If he can put it together athletically and blend right in, he's got a lot of experience. If Mawani Wilkinson isn't ready to take that next step, maybe it's Seneca Knight for LSU.
All right. We're not forgetting about the big men here. There are a couple you mentioned as a Weiro, but a guy I'm pumped for is Darrell Colbert. And the composite has him as the number 8 center, 24/7 has him as the number 10 center. Billy, you got a guy coming out of Memphis, 6'9", 210. So I guess he could also be a forward in a sense. But Yeah, fans are asking for a rim protector. I know that Jerry Meyers said this a couple of times. You've written about it. He's considered to be about as good as there is out there in terms of elite shot blockers in this 2021 class. I guess what's the comp, and then what's the early expectation here for Colbert, who is among their highest rated signees?
Yeah, Colbert, I've watched him a few years now, and he's got that skill. But I think the big thing for me is really his rebounding. That's where I think he's going to bring the most. He reminds me of a less freaky Emmett Williams, if that makes sense. He has that drive to be a really good rebounder. He wants to block shots. He's got a high ceiling. And so I think as they develop his offensive game even more, which is at a pretty good level right now, he's going to be somebody that can really make an impact right away, in my opinion. I mean, he's played quite honestly, he's played all over. He's transferred a few times, but he's playing his final played his final high school season with Mike Miller's son. So he played in Tennessee, and he was really highly recruited. And Will Wade got him on board way early. I believe he was a 2022 commit to start, and so he's transferring or he reclassed into 2021. So he's got all the makings of a really, really strong starter for LSU right off the bat, I think, and especially if they lose both of the big men. But I think that's probably between him and Alex Fudge, the two guys I'm most excited about in this class. And they are, two really good prospects, and Colbert should make an impact right away.
All right, wrap us up, at least for currently. Obviously, they'll have spots left, how many TBD. But Bradley Azuero, you called him Cam Thomas's high school teammate, an Oak Hill grad, a center, but 6'8", 230. Is he a guy that probably comes in and takes some time?
I think so. He's young. I know he pushed back, obviously, to his original high school class by moving back to the 2021 class. He has shown improvement. I just think he's somebody to, I think he is a four-year guy, quite honestly. He's got really big size. He's got some athleticism for how big he is, and that's going to need to be continued to develop. He's a little raw offensively, but I think the combo of his athleticism, motor, that's going to stand out. I think motor at this level is so important, and he's got it. He just needs to get his body right. I think he's a little undersized in a way to be a center. So he's a little bit more of a four. He's about 6'8", and sometimes those are a little, skewed. He might even be a little bit like 6'7", like Emmett Williams or Darius Days. So, and Darius Days had to work on his body when he came into LSU. So I think he's somebody that's going to take some time to develop, but, he does have the athleticism to play at this level, which is important.
Well, and I'll wrap up here. I'll let you take back over as we shut things down. We just wanted to give people kind of that glimpse ahead. I should mention, though, that I guess when people see these guys, you'll be seeing them for the first time next year. A lot of people will see Alex Fudge and say, I've seen that guy before. He's already been here, right? So there's got to be some sort of, we talked him up maybe the most. There's got to be some sort of advantage in the early enrollee type of way, or signed last year, but to being on campus already.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Fudge should be, pushing for playing time. And Will Wade said if he hadn't promised his mom and his coach that he'd redshirt him, he'd be playing. And by the end of the season, they really needed him. I mean, between Sharif O'Neal going down, they needed someone else. Monty Wilkinson kind of hit a freshman wall. They needed Alex Fudge. So he's somebody with a really good chance to break out next year as he enters what will be, his first full season at LSU. But, that maybe he gets that extra boost from being an early enrollee. You're right.
You, I'll turn it back to you, and I'll offer you this. We'll see how many spots there are, but give me just number one on the list. What is the, knowing that you're probably at least losing Cam, probably losing Javonte, we'll see from there with Wadford and Smart. What are you circling as the thing that Will Wade has to have if he wants his team to be to getting back to where, as he said the other night, I think that I could put together a team this offseason with the guys returning, that we can be right back here again, round of 32 type action. What's that position?
It's center. If Will Wade wants his team to take that next step, and as the roster stands, I mean, there's going to have to be improvement, and guys are going to have to stay healthy as well to make it back to the NCAA tournament. You talk about Tarif O'Neal, you know, staying healthy. Mwani Wilkinson has to improve. Alex Fudge has to continue to do what they ask of him. Eric Gaines has to put on weight and play a little bit, smarter, and that'll come with the experience, you would think. But I mean, gosh, he's fun to watch when he's on. And then
my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, he and we
massive Gaines fan.
Yes, when he was signed, it was there wasn't that many high majors in on it, but LSU watched him and just fell in love with him, and you could see why, and got him on board, you know, rather quickly. So I think, you know, center is the biggest one for me. They need a not necessarily even a true rim protector, but they need somebody in there that can really be a defensive presence. They need physicality. I think back in this team, Naz Reid, Cavell Bigby-Williams, I go back to those guys, and as much skill as Naz Reid has, he was still a very, very large man and tough to move. He was still growing as a defender. Cavell Bigby-Williams was that defensive presence. They need to find somebody like that. And if he's 6'11", 7 feet, that's a plus as well. But center for Will Wade, that's the big key. And then I'll also say probably a veteran point guard. And they're in contact with quite a few, and we'll keep you guys in the loop on that as we continue to and just get going really with this transfer portal this summer, which is going to be just insane.
I'm excited. We'll do another pod in the next coming weeks where we can let's dive into the guys who we know are coming back. So I think people are excited about the Gaines, the Jalen Cooks, Wilkinson, Hyatt. You know, what's that next step for all those guys? LeBlanc, who certainly, I think, held certain expectations coming here from Georgetown. Does he get there, a year from now? So we'll do that. Next time we'll run it down on those guys.
I'm down. Always down. We've got some really hardcore basketball fans on Go 24/7 that can really talk basketball, and I'm sure they're going to love us doing a few more basketball pods than we normally do.
And a shout out to Nola Boy, one of our posters who was in the building in Indianapolis, sitting behind the goal. He and his fiance rocking the Saints jerseys. So wish it would have been a win for them, but yes, some rabid basketball fans on the site. So if you're not a member yet, and you do, you know, you're into the LSU basketball scene, certainly want to drop by because guys are in there every day talking on the message board about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And that is a good reason to remind you guys that you can subscribe to Go 24/7 for just $1 for your first month. You can get the rest of spring ball with that month, and probably some critical basketball news ahead as well. So be on the lookout for that. And recruiting is always at the forefront as well. And this is a good time to remind you guys to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and give us a follow wherever you listen to your podcasts. We will be there for you, the Go 24/7 podcast. Shay, thanks for joining us. Everyone, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.